Talking about Bay Area real estate has become almost a cliche. It's too expensive, there's not enough of it, and nobody's building more. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with a veteran real estate analyst about some of the idiosyncrasies of buying and selling land in and around San Francisco. That chat starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening to our stories this week. This next one is a lighter look at the demographics of San Francisco, where we shop, where we work, and how much we make, and other things. The data come from a veteran Bay Area real estate analyst who, for an end-of-year summary, pulls some numbers that vary from his usual reports around home prices, inventory, and trends. Here's our chat.
Patrick Carlisle, Chief Market Analyst at Paragon Real Estate.
You kind of ended 2017 with a bang, with just this massive research project that you did, basically profiling San Francisco and sometimes the five-county area around us. And you pulled out some pretty spectacular statistics. So the reason I asked you to come in and talk about it was because to start off 2018, I thought it might be good for audience and for myself to understand who lives where and how.
Right.
It's pretty much.
The fact of the matter is, even... You know, I've been in the Bay Area and San Francisco for decades now, and doing this research, I was constantly stunned at what I, at the information I find. We really do not know who we are as a community.
If I could, I'd like to start with the godless San Francisco Bay Area, which is what a lot of people seem to think about the Bay from other parts of the country. What did you find when it comes to the metro area for religion purposes, or maybe lack thereof?
I stumbled across this research by the Pew Research Institute, which does research on thousands of different things. And they had a series of probably 30 or 40 questions on a survey trying to access religiosity or spirituality. Compared to many areas of the country, and probably building into a stereotype that some have of the Bay Area, the Bay Area is not as Christian as, say, Alabama. As with almost all the research, is that San Francisco and the Bay Area were this melange, this incredible combination of peoples and philosophies and religions and beliefs. So when the Pew Research Institute, they came up with about 45% or 45-50%, depending on how you define Christian, are consider themselves Christian in San Francisco. I love this. 22% basically said nothing in particular, or I don't know what I am.
Yeah, don't know was an interesting response, I thought, to 22%. If you lump that in with agnostic, that goes to 32%. And if you put the atheist in there, it goes to 37%.
Right.
So non-affiliated slash atheist is a third of the population in the five counties.
Right. And if you drill down a little bit further, and they asked, you know, how many people attended a religious service at least once a week, now we're down to 22%. Read scripture once a week, 18%. Pray at least daily, 36%. Meditate, I bet they don't get a lot of answers for meditation in a lot of parts of the country, but here, 35% of San Franciscans said they meditated at least once a week.
Right. And that's encouraged at a lot of tech companies. You know, there are meditation rooms and there are instructors that are brought on as another perk for keeping people on campus, basically, and keeping them working and hopefully healthy.
Yeah. Well, I've seen this ebb and flow literally since the early 70s. As more and more scientific research has been gone into meditation. Mm-hmm. And actually in the 70s, there was a lot of research about what was called relaxation response and the effect it had on people's psychologies and emotional stability. And, you know, it's pretty much inarguable that it is good for one's mental and physical health.
Let's wrap up with the religion beliefs and practices with one thing that really stood out for you, and I happen to notice it too. Believe in heaven, 51%, believe in hell, 38%, right?
I love that. To me, that's everybody gets a trophy. There's this deep, deep optimism that I can go to heaven, but, you know, the downside is limited.
Right. Let's move on to you have one called a selection of numbers, right? And these are not random in any way, but let's contextualize again. How many people live in San Francisco?
Right now, about 876,000.
Okay, and because we are limited, we are restricted by geology.
49 square miles.
Exactly. So how many people living in poverty? I want to pull that number out of that 800,000.
Yeah, according to the latest statistics from the U.S. Census, it was 105,000. And, of course, there are other methods of assessing poverty that put it even higher. The federal government has a hard time assessing different levels of poverty according to living expenses. People think of San Francisco as this extremely rich city, which in many ways it is.
Sure.
And the Bay Area is extremely rich, but there's a lot else going on, and there's over 100,000 of people in San Francisco living in poverty. They estimate that 16% of San Franciscans are food insecure. They don't know when they will have enough food or whether they'll have enough food to feed themselves.
Let's talk about employment, because I think this one kind of does cement a certain stereotype about people who live in San Francisco and where they work. Where do most people work?
Well, most people, the largest group at 127,000, are in the professional, scientific, technical realm. So there is indeed this solid core of of exactly who people think of. The next biggest group is actually government workers. Between state, local, and federal workers, almost 100,000 people in San Francisco who work for the government, which is
that seems large. Yeah, it seems large, right?
Now, I don't know. It may well be that the universities, the state universities, may be considered under that rubric. I don't know, because they do have a separate breakout for education. But you look at some of the other fields, for example, healthcare and social assistance.
What does that mean?
The retail trade. Well, I think a lot of people there, and this will be reflected in the wage chart as well,
right,
is we're talking, and this is happening all through the country, it's the biggest burgeoning occupation in the United States is literally just taking care of people, more and more taking care of elderly people.
Right.
And these jobs, of course, are often not well paid at all. They're paid terribly, at least when considering the cost of living here.
Lowest on the list for employment was what you're generously calling farming. I seem to think of people who have plants on their patios maybe counting as farmers.
I don't know. I just had to put that in there. Actually, the categories like farming, hunting, fishing, and mining. Well, I just couldn't see a whole lot of hunting or fishing. Well, maybe there's some fishermen going out.
Maybe.
But
yeah, I can see that down at the Embarcadero. But mining? Is there an active mine? Maybe in South San Francisco. That's the only place I can.
The only thing I could think for farming are people who've got rooms full of grow lights.
Let's talk about software developers and hardware engineers, the people that were populating, you know, the most jobs in San Francisco in the area. How well, on average, are those people being compensated?
So the software developers, the average, the mean wage is about $134,000. Computer programmers, about $107,000. Civil engineers, $109,000. Hardware engineers are a bit higher at $138,000.
How Bay Area residents spend their money. This one kind of surprised me. Let's get into a little bit of that. And specifically, let's look at the cigarette number, because that one stood out.
As far as cigarettes, we actually have the lowest average resident spending in the nation. We're 61% below. And we also have the lowest spending in cola beverages.
Mm-hmm. What do we spend more on than the rest of the country?
Housekeeping services.
That's crazy.
So we spend 97% more than the average in the nation. So, of course, this is an indication of affluence. You can't afford to have someone do the cleaning for you unless you're making a certain amount of money.
Right.
On the other hand, this is what we're talking about when we talk about that 100,000 plus people who are fighting to make their wages stretch to pay for housing costs.
Patrick, thank you for coming in. Once again, nice to meet you in person.
Always a pleasure, Jason.
And I always look forward to your analysis, and we'll speak again soon, I hope.
Great.
That was Patrick Carlisle. He's chief analyst at the Paragon Real Estate Group, and he's been studying the Bay Area housing market for almost 30 years. For a link to his data and for links to all of the sources we use, please go to KGORadio.com. All of the links are in the story that goes with this week's show. And that's it for this week's show. For the extended interviews and all of our podcast links, you can check us out on Stitcher or Audio Boom or wherever you get your podcasts. We're also social media savvy. I'm at KGOJason on Twitter. And for Facebook, it's .com/Techonomics Radio. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, I'm the host and the writer, Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics. Thank you so much for listening, and have great weeks, everybody.